Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about several of the one another's that helped the early Christ followers experience spiritual success.
Well, it actually is quite a list. As you go through the letters that Paul and Peter and the other authors wrote, it's kind of breathtaking about how much truth had to do with how people interacted, which makes a lot of sense because Jesus said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two, you know, commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So that
right.
makes sense.
But as the rest of the New Testament is written, they are now more specific in what some of those things mean.
The idea of considering one another is, I don't know, if you think about the idea of considering, you have to weigh, you have to look, you have to, you know, just kind of take it all in rather than just, you know, kind of blow by one another.
One of the things I think about when you consider someone is not to only look at that person from my perspective, but from possibly what they're going through at work, what their family's like, whether they have handicapped children, whatever it is, you know, whether they have a mother-in-law living with them, whatever their story is to see them, consider them in their full humanness and their full perspective of their life, not just the little bit that I engage with.
Well, and every story is different, and all of the elements of a story impact who we are and what we're experiencing. I love this verse. It's out of Hebrews chapter 10. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not just good deeds, not just love, but love and good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's a loaded verse.
It is. And I love the first part of it, that picture of the word stimulate, that picture of sort of badgering or encouraging people to live it, not just talk about it, but or kind of understand it, but to prove you understand it by how you live it, rather than keeping out of everyone's way. We're trying to kind of stir things up in a way to cause people to.
You said badger. I think provoke.
Yeah.
You know, provoke in a good way. We have a tendency to look at provocation as a bad thing, but there is the idea of kind of holding one another's, spiritual feet to the fire far as what's important.
Yes, and just setting the bar a little higher instead of relaxing into what's comfortable. Let's encourage people to set it a little higher.
And so I look at someone who is around me and I consider them, that particular person, how can I stimulate them to love and good deeds? And everybody kind of has their own recipe, don't they? As far as the words that they hear, the words that they give, and just the ingredients that go into a particular relationship, because every relationship is different.
Right.
And, you know, so to weigh that out, and then also with that, not forsaking our own assembling together or gathering together. You know, a lot of times you think about church as, you know, the big meeting, you know, when everybody gets together. But that's not what this is referring to only. It's talking about all of the different ways that people assemble. And by and large, during this time frame, they were assembling in homes, in parts of their communities, in some gathering places. But by and large, it was home by home by home where they were meeting. And then also, obviously, there was something that was going on in the temple where they would gather together to encourage one another as well.
Well, and it's really difficult to consider people and how you're going to stimulate them to love and good works if you're not spending any kind of time together. You have to know each other in order to be able to do that.
And so the assembly idea is just kind of being face-to-face for purposes, for good purposes. You know,
not just watching a football game?
No.
Not watching,
you know,
the Packers?
I think there are a lot of great human things that we share with each other, but that ability to ask questions that stimulate with regard to the soul, the core of what life is all about and what people are about, I think that's something that you have to kind of learn how to do.
Well, I joke about the Packers, and I don't really mean the Packers because that's not really a good time. But, you know, there are other things that you do together. You might boat together, or you might be in a biking club together. But whatever it is, you can learn to make the most of that time so that it's not just all recreation, but that when you have conversations, it actually builds into something.
This reminds me of one of our friends, and she's very discerning, has a God-built ability to be sincerely interested in people of different backgrounds and ages. It's fun to be around her because you can count on Diane to engage relationally. She's willing to take risks, put herself out there, draw people into the circle of meaningful conversation. And when she's absent from our lives for periods of time, we suffer for it because people like her bring out the color in human existence, and they turn drab landscapes into a beautiful wash of life and energy. You just kind of, she just kind of rolls into the room.
Yeah, I agree about her. In my world, in considering this topic, I have really practiced being hospitable, but it's people bringing their other giftings that make it all work together. So some people bring organization to that or their extroverted personalities. But what I like is that makes it easier to consider everyone who's coming to the table.
Yes.
For instance, who needs someone talkative next to them? Or conversely, who needs someone around them who'll let them get a word in edgewise?
That's true.
Who brings spiritual depth? Who brings reason to what might become a heated discussion? You know, putting a group of people around a table made me realize how much we need to consider each other. And I know it's not just considering someone and how to make them feel comfortable or good about themselves. I know there's a bigger picture on this, but how to get them to consider how to consider their people and in their sphere of influence.
Well, and I think that rolls right over into this next one, which is in Romans 12, because once you are considering one another, then the whole idea of being devoted to one another takes it kind of to a deeper level.
Right.
You develop those skill sets, the caring to consider somebody, but then what do you do with that? And how does that develop? And I love this. It's out of Romans 12. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit. In so doing, you are serving the Lord. So brotherly love, this is talking about an active brotherly love where you turn it into devotion. You assess who someone is, but then you also move that over into, okay, what does it mean to be committed to that particular person?
And in giving preference, it means that you're willing to play second or to be second fiddle, which that is not easy to do.
No.
It's just more
fun. It doesn't
come
naturally to me.
No, it doesn't come naturally to you.
Thanks for reinforcing me there. Yeah, I've got a friend who's truly a loyal partner in life. His wife, his wife has even described him as having the faithful qualities of a golden retriever.
It's the truth.
You know, very lovingly. He he lives to serve others in practical ways, and he and I have pioneered many things together. We've cleared land, built buildings, developed things where there were only ideas and very few resources. Together, we've tackled these tasks without looking back. So I deeply appreciate my friend Carlin. I can count on him to stay focused and to have my back. And he helps me to ask these questions. And these, when it comes to devotion, these are not just good questions for me to ask, but for me to ask in the context of asking it with other people. How committed am I to sticking with other people? Yeah, that's what I love about him is he's very committed. He's very loyal. Am I willing to overcome interpersonal obstacles that will develop lasting relationships? You know, I don't know about you, Bernadette, but outside of I find very few people that, you know, match up 100% with everything that I want.
Oh, you're very gracious, because I would say I don't always match up.
So do I want to overcome those interpersonal obstacles? Also, am I willing to serve others and move forward whether or not I receive recognition or tangible reward? Because, you know, relationships that are built on what we can get are totally different than ones that are servant relationships where it's not about what we get back. And that's an interesting thing about kingdom relationships.
Yeah. When I see someone being devoted in a way that isn't natural for me, it is really provoking. And honestly, sometimes I sort of cast it aside like, that is totally not me. But sometimes I see someone and I think, I could figure out how to put a little more of that in my life. For example, we have a friend who used to have quite a temper, and we've seen him completely turn that around.
Yes.
And, you know, it was serious. But instead of considering his feelings first, he is so patient now. And he's always so sure to look at all the possible perspectives. And I just love it about him. Sometimes I think, oh, hurry up. Like in him, you know, coming through a situation and thinking all the pieces through.
He's deliberate.
But I know that I need more of what he has, just good consideration from all perspectives.
Well, and this is the beautiful thing about being devoted to one another, is we understand each other, as we consider each other, and we learn from one another, mm-hmm. and we become more together than we can ever be alone. And that's what kingdom friendships really are all about.
And it's what makes you devoted. When you see someone go from, in this example, having a temper to being so patient, you realize, I can be devoted to that person because he loves God, because he didn't want to do that just because he wanted to.
That leads to another one another, which is pray for one another. And this is in James chapter 5. Therefore, this is interesting. Confess your sins to one another. I thought you had to hire people to do that with. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much.
Yeah, there is so much history in that chunk of verses, you know, because Elijah is mentioned in there. There's just so much. I love how another version puts one of the phrases that you just said. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
That is really
the effectual prayer of a righteous man. It's cool.
Well, part of our love for one another is to care about spoken and unspoken needs and issues and take them before God on another's behalf. And so that whole idea of intercession and caring enough about somebody, knowing somebody well enough to be able to go to God and pray for them, even when they're experiencing their own weakness, that's all part of deep kingdom relationships. It's easy to underestimate the power of that kind of love. And when we care enough to pray for someone else with passion and regularity, we're showing a deep labor of love. It's easy to think our prayers don't matter, mm-hmm. or ultimately change nothing, but the scriptures make it clear that praying for others can be of great spiritual worth and value.
Yeah, I feel like I've just barely gotten a glimpse of this, but I love it when I see it and take the time to relish it, that this God and me communicating thing. He's woken me in the night really burdened to pray for someone at different times. You know, I know that that's not me waking myself. I know that that's him prompting me to communicate with him. It just feels heavy sometimes, the marriages he prompts me to pray for, and the struggles he reveals that someone is going through spiritually. And then on what may seem to be smaller things, he prompted me recently while I was driving, when we were traveling and we had the trailer behind us, mm-hmm. he prompted me to pray just for our safety, that everything was secure with the trailer. And in the same breath, I thought, why am I doing this? Because Dave is so cautious and he's so careful. But what happened?
Did I make a mistake or
no,
something?
No, I thought we got home and you said there was something wrong with the
hitch. Oh, yeah, yes, the hitch.
I know.
Yeah, I went back and I thought, this could have come off from here.
I was
blocking it out.
When you said that, I didn't think of it right away, but a little bit later I went, you know what? I remember exactly where I was when I was prompted to pray for that. And that's not a small thing.
Kingdom friends, which of course, Bernadette, I consider you one of my closest kingdom
friends.
Because we have been in a position to consider one another and to be devoted to one another. We've had to learn how to do that mm-hmm. in the ways that we just discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And then to pray for each other, because we recognize that, you know, we have these skills and abilities, but we really are dependent upon God's intervention in our lives.
Dependent on him and submitted to him to direct those, because we can consider people, we can do all those things, but without the Spirit leading, we might just do it for ourselves.
Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forestream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we are finding hope at forestream.com.